child, a particularly gifted child, he would become one of the actors of these movies.
There's been a lot of things about that. This is how the Bible uses the word. You look at it, same thing, Mein Kampf, this whole thing, total dictatorship, state control. And Spengola tries to say there's a difference between the national socialism in Germany and Marxist socialism. But national socialism is still Marxist, all the way. Completely. What they had really done, all except for the Romanov dynasty in Russia, by the 1800s, is they had destroyed all the racially pure monarchies of Europe and England.
Right.
Hanover, the House of Hanover coming in from Germany was already corrupted, so that was gone by the early 1717 in England. George the First was not of the pure-raced Israelite family.
Right.
That was a corrupt seed line.
Right.
And Oliver Cromwell, like we were talking before, he was financed by the Dutch Jews. They brought the Jews back in again, even though they were really already there. They just brought them in force, and they really took over all commerce. They set up the first central bank, the first official above-ground central bank, that is.
Right,
the Bank of England, 1694. That's why, when you're back to the days of King James, the first of England, who's of the Stuart line, who really is of the seed of David, pure-raced, and he started he gave a charter, and that's where that was the 1606, the Virginia Land Company, and he invested money, and, you know, they sent over, the first it was Jamestown, right, and that didn't succeed, but
Oh, thank you, Keith. You mean that Jamestown related to King James?
Yes, of course.
Oh, my gosh, thank you.
Well, yeah, and that's the whole thought about the 13 colonies, because it was really all one commercial company, the Virginia Land Company.
Wow.
Georgia to Maine, and the Informer and James Montgomery, they go through all these things, and they, you know, you can read the Pediatrice, what do they call it?
The 1783 Paris Peace Treaty. Right.
So anyway, you can read through it, and no, it was King George III dictating the terms.
Right.
And he did it as the Prince of the Holy Roman Empire, the Arch-Treasurer of the United States, and the Prince of the United States. I'd have to read it again. It's been several months. But, I mean, it's just the way it's laid out in all the articles. People do not understand, you know, well, they can't understand world history until they understand that everything we're taught is Greco-Roman, as if the Greeks and Romans were not actually Israelites. They don't look at Israelite or biblical history because they assume that Israel or the Jews and all these other people like Greeks and Romans are another race.
That's right.
Which is crap.
That's right. And
they
that's
can
right.
go back in time.
Well, he's kind of a freak, I think. But I'm grateful to him for the work he has done. I think he is sincere. And I was very happy to hear Pieznik talk today because I like Pieznik a lot. And it did not occur to me until I heard his show today that you and I both knew that the Boston bombing.
His mouth off again, and he said, usury is against God's law, and this, and he was going on and on.
Yeah.
And what he sounded like a nice guy and everything, and I wasn't really rude. She accused me of being rude, which they all do.
I know.
All I said is that's not true.
I know. You're never rude, and they always say you're rude because they're a bunch of ninny sissies. They don't recognize...
my voice a little bit. I'm a little emphatic.
You're never rude. I've never heard you be rude, Keith. Not once.
Well, here's what God said. God said in 23:19 of Deuteronomy, thou shalt not lend upon usury to thy brother. That would be another Israelite.
Right.
usury of money, usury of victuals, usury of anything that is lent upon usury. So it isn't just money and interest. I can't lend you 3 loaves of bread and say you have to pay me back 4.
Yeah.
See, that's taking an increase on a loan.
Right.
And it's again, now he says in verse 20, unto a stranger thou mayest lend upon usury, but unto thy brother thou shalt not lend upon usury, that
okay.
the Lord thy God may bless thee in all
okay.
that thou settest thine hand to in the land whither thou goest to possess it. So the law is real clear.
Right.
Usury is out of anything, money, anything material.
Right.
You know, anything that you can lend, you can't charge usury to a brother, but he said thou mayest to a stranger, a nogri.
Right.
Well, to say that usury against God's law in all cases against all, it's not true.
Right.
I could lend money to any Asian or Negro at interest if I want to. I'm not breaking God's law.
Right. It's just business in the world of international commerce.
Well, yeah, it's a whole different situation, and because God prophesied about the end times, it'd be like the days of Noah, and they're using the Balaam plan against us. We're not homogeneous. You know, we were about 99% Israelites. I'm not talking about Native Americans, although many of those were also Israelites, but people don't get that. But I'm talking about the 3 million people or so, or 3.9, whatever it was exactly, at the time of the Declaration of Independence and the so-called independence of America. You see, it's all lie. It's a lie upon lie, because it never really was independent from Great Britain.
Right.
But the whole thing is that you go from 99% homogeneous, purized Israelites, although they don't know they're Israelites, and they're also following false prophets like Calvin and Luther by that time, the Hessians that came over, you know, most of them were Catholic anyway, but a lot of them were Lutheran. It's always been split, but you don't get the true choice there between, you know, you don't get the true faith that the apostles taught from Luther or from the Catholics, because Luther was Catholic.
Right.
So anyway, it goes on, and then you come down even into the 1900s, and some say up to about 1950, we're still 90% Israelite.
Oh, I know.
And a whole bunch of Mexicans come in, and it wasn't time yet, so mm-hmm. Eisenhower looks like the big hero. They have Operation Wetback.
Right.
And they ship them back over, because it wasn't time to do it yet. They weren't going to start to do that until the Second New Deal, which is the Great Society by the Canaanite Lyndon Baines Johnson.
Right.
He's a Jew.
Of course, look at him. Just look at him.
Oh, yeah, and his wife, too. She's a Sephardic Jew. He's Ashkenazi Jew.
Right.
His father, Big Sam, and they were bringing in all kinds of Canaanites against the law of the United States of America. They were illegally importing all these, you know, ones they needed to do all this, and they backed Leo Frank, you know, after he murdered the 14-year-old girl, after he raped her in the pencil factory down
right.
in Georgia.
Right.
And they would sit up there on the porch, you know, because they were with their shotguns in case some lynch mob came for them.
Right.
Right. So the whole thing is just, you know, I mean, not, you know, if they could understand genetics and gene type, here, I'll just show you. This is one thing that I'm going to do here pretty soon. Is I'm turning to the Greek dictionary in the back of the concordance, and this is in Vine. And when you go to the number 1085 and 1081, 1078 and 1074, you can get a whole lot of truth just from doing the word generation. I mean, you can learn an awful lot that you'll never learn in any seminary or any church in this country. Just from doing the study. 1085, it's the Greek word genos. It means kin. Kind, it's translated as 5 times. Kindred, 3 times. Offspring, 3 times. Nation, 2 times. Stock, 2 times. Born, 2 times. Now, it has diversity 1 time, and that one has to be explained. But really what it means is, it means race. And 1081's the same way.
Right.
And that's genema. And that's from 1080. See, they give you the root words. You go back to 1080. And then it says it's a variation of 1085 to procreate of the father, but by extension of the mother. Now, figuratively, it can be used to regenerate, but it has begat 49 times, be born 39 times. But anyway, when you're getting into 1085, 1081, 1080, you're talking about race. So you look up generation in the concordance, and then you go to Matthew 23. Every time he talks about your serpents, your generation of vipers, he's not talking to his children, the Israelites. He's talking about the serpent race. Because it's using that word.
Right.
Now the tricky part, and this is what took me a while, is when you go to 1074, now you have Gena'ah. Now, that can mean an age, and it can mean the period or the persons. So it can be time period or race. So that's where you have to let the context, you have to let the Bible, you know, guide you. It's like when Christ said, he said that no sign shall be given to a froward and untoward race. Untoward, you know, generation is what he said. But what he's talking about there, it can't be the time period because Christ did all kinds of signs in that time period. He did miracles all over the place. And they're recorded. So that's how context shows you. He was talking, he said, he didn't do a single miracle in front of any tare, seed of the serpent, descendant of Cain person.
Right.
Even the Canaanite woman of Matthew 15, when he had mercy on her and healed his daughter's sickness, it wasn't done in front of her. It said, she went away, and then within the hour, her daughter was made whole.
Right.
He doesn't say that I'm not going to do this and then do it.
Right.
He says he's not going to do something, you can bet he won't do it. And if he says he's going to do something, you can bet he will.
Right.
That's how God is. See, that's the whole thing about going through and discerning and doing enough word studies and understanding the whole basics about life on this planet, starting with Genesis 3:15 forward. And then going back and then the creation story. Eli James is laughing. See, God said, he pronounced it very good, the last verse of Genesis 1. He didn't say perfect. Ah, ha, 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 ha. And he's laughing, and actually, no.
Right.
If there was any evil in the world at that time, God would never have said it's very good.
Right.
You know, you can nitpick and slice it and say, okay, well, yeah, he created beings there that, you know, I mean, they're not going to be perfect. God knew all along that men and women are going to choose, you know, life, or they're going to choose death.
Because he gave them free will.
That's right. And he had foreknowledge of everything, but at that time, evil had not entered, sin had not entered into the world. That was first by Eve, who was of Adam, because Adam's the family. She was beguiled, wholly seduced. And that's what Paul says. He explains it clearly.
Right.
Her, you know, being deceived was in first in the transgression.
Right.
Satan deceived her.
Totally.
But Adam sinned willingly.
Right.
So Adam, that is the man, the first of the race of Adam on the earth, who was on the earth before Eve was placed on earth. There was no body for Eve to dwell in, to be on earth. God had to put Adam to sleep, anesthesia, take the rib, formed a body out of the rib, placed Eve on earth. Now he had a helpmeet.
Right.
That's what I went through with Lindstedt on all this stuff about, you know, the whole creation story, but he just doesn't get it.
Mm-hmm.
We'd argue back and forth, and he'd interrupt and go on, and I'm saying, wait a minute, you know, Genesis 1:26 and 27 is the creation of Adam. It's 1:20. If you don't believe it, look it up. Genesis 2:7 is not the creation of Adam, like you keep saying.
Mm-hmm.
Because God did not create Adam twice.
Right.
Once you created Adam, you can't create him again, can you?
Nope.
Well, he doesn't get that. Because they don't understand spirit, soul, and body. So I've got that in part of this study.
Oh, good. What study? What study are you talking about?
Well, the one I think I'm going to try and call you tomorrow on.
Okay.
It's just, see, but it, what it does, it's going to destroy what Eli James talks about, soul sleep. in his one judgment, and it's actually going to go to the heart of the thing, which is the soul of man, Adam, and all Israelites are of Adam, is the soul mortal or immortal?
The soul is immortal.
Well, Eli and the rest, they don't believe that.
Oh, okay.
They only believe that for the saved. The true believers, they're going to be awakened out of this.
Oh, I get it. Yes, that's a very, very important point, Keith. I didn't understand. But if the soul is immortal, then hell is eternal.
Yes, conscious existence continues on after the death.
That's right. That's important.
That's right.
Right.
Well, in other words, God's warning us. Well, you know, there's really one or two ends to you here.
Right.
I have to reject you and say that you will not enter into my kingdom.
Right.
You know, but again, it's eternal damnation and everlasting punishment. So you know, these guys have the idea that in Lindstedt's the same. He actually agrees with, he'd be horrified to realize. He's just too thick to even realize that he's got as many heresies in his doctrine as Eli J. Well, not as many, almost as many, but...
Uh-huh.
Lindstedt's a little better on doctrine than James, because James, everything, he twists everything that he teaches.
I think Lindstedt is super intelligent, but I don't like the fact that he's depraved.
Well, he's just depraved, but he's also, he's so worldly and carnal, he doesn't understand, you know, the Spirit of God's not working in that man.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm sorry to say that's true.
Yep. He wants to go on and on and on about, you know, the end time judgment and this and that and all the niggers and the wiggers, and he keeps saying that they're going to be destroyed and the Jew, you know, and then, you know. He thinks that Christ is going to come back to be a warrior for them in their political struggle, but the truth about the Bible is there's no political struggle whatsoever. The world is going to go the way it's going to go, and the prophets tell us how it's going to go, and there's no changing it. And when it ends up, it's actually going to melt with a fervent heat. And that's why the one study that I did that I really think is the most helpful, if we had people who actually were studying the Bible, it would be, is to take a look and do a thing, I just call it triangulation. Let's look at three parts of prophecy. The 70 weeks of Daniel, that's only four verses in Daniel 9. We'll read a good section from like 1 to 35 of Matthew 24 and go back and cover some parts of Revelation, like we did when we read Revelation 11.
Right.
These two witnesses are real. And then let's look what Christ said when they asked him about when will these things be, referring to what Christ had already said about the temple being destroyed. And he said, and what will be the end of the age, they asked him, and the sign of thy coming. And what he says in there tells us about the great tribulation. There's so much in that. But if we just read just those three parts of prophecy and then do a little reasoning in that, you know.
Yeah, that'll be a great
study. Much do away with any of this historicism, preterism, and all that garbage. So,
right.
That's what Cornoni doesn't want me to. You know, this soul sleep and all this stuff I want to do. What I'm just trying to do is just show how wolves can come in, say something that you're not biblically aware of that sounds good. You know, and it's always this two-edged thing. Because the whole church world is deceived into believing that the saved people go to heaven forever and ever, and earth has nothing to do with their existence anymore. Yeah, that is a lie. And Eli says, well, we don't teach going to heaven. So the problem is that, you know, the saints, those who die in Christ, they do go to be with Christ in heaven. I'm going to read the verses where Paul shows it in Revelation, Luke, Acts, and then where Paul says it in 2 Corinthians and Philippians. And that's true, but that's not the final destination.
Yeah.
That's only till the second coming, because he brings the dead in Christ with him back, and that's in, you know, 1 Thessalonians. So,
right.
Well, in other words, they capitalize on some great lie in the deceived end-time church, but he uses it always to teach another false doctrine and destroy the truth of the, you know, the true Bible.
Yeah, because he has a basic difference of his whole cosmic view is different.
Yeah, well, the only thing about it is he just doesn't, he's not a hearer of the Word of God. Now, I believe he can't be a hearer.
Right.
I also believe that he's commissioned and set in and has a lot of support behind him, just from numerous things. He's always traveling here and going there and taking over the show and, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's always getting his nose into everything and, you know, I mean, the guy just, but he never tells the truth because, you know, it's perfect timing because this is a, and it's going into two ways, and you got your Eric John Phelps, and oh, it's the Jesuits, and that's this Tom Gamble guy, you know, the Jesuits, it's not the Jews, and then they got the Jew camp going, it's not the Jesuits, it's the Jews.
I know, there's a wonderful fight going on between those two camps.
Yeah, but none of them in any of these camps even understand the name Jew.
Right.
They don't understand the Bible at all.
Right.
Now, all these people are being told about Jews, so they send in one of their own, Eli James, to tell them, it's the Jews, it's the Jews, it's the, that's what they want.
Right.
Because what they do, that works for their cause. You know, they love anti-Semitism, they thrive on it.
Right.
And then they're sending one of their own as an agent of the devil so that he can take all these people who would come into the truth about Israel.
Right.
Understand how you know, certain Israelites were Jews at certain times, but that doesn't exist anymore, so the whole thing's a lie, and then come into actually learning the truth, the sound doctrine, and the law of God again. And they got one of their own right there to teach them lies about law and lies about prophecy and don't go to your accurate, correct, and proven Bible from the received text that our fathers received.
Uh-huh.
What are these other Bibles from this corrupt text?
Uh-huh.
Out of evil, you know? It's misdirection. They're going to take you into a Bible you can't possibly find the truth in.
Yep.
Yep. So that's pretty much how I see it working, because that guy is just, like I said, Mona, you just can't put forth that many errors and it be unintentional.
Yes, you can. Yes, you can, Keith. Yes, you can. You can be wrong.
Well, you can be wrong, but it's everything together. It's his arrogance. I'm the spokesman for Christian identity. And he goes to all these identity groups around the country. But I thought he was running a business. Well, how do you spend all this time traveling? Okay, who's funding you? Oh, my website went down. The ADL took me down.
Yeah.
Well, why'd they take you down and not Israel Elect? Because all you're doing is bringing up all these lies that are on Israel Elect. It's been up there for years before you.
Well, usually when we think we're being attacked by the Jews, it's not true. It's a technical glitch.
Yeah, well, he claimed to have proof. He had proof that the ADL took him down and all this and that.
Yeah, okay, well, they could have. You know, they're very sporadic and got a bunch of little people working. You know, with
no, it's another Mossad. It's another Canaanite ploy by
absolutely.
There was no way that they wouldn't take down any one of them, even from Pete Peters to Kingdom Identity to Israel Elect.
Well, they seem to do little irritating things. You know, they don't work in a big, broad strokes. They just take pokes at individuals for fun.
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you, if by some miracle this guy is just as totally deceived,
right.
I believe he's the deceiver.
Right.
But if he is just that deceived,
yeah.
The best thing in the world that would happen is he would voluntarily, you know, just go back and amend his whole website. Oh, I was wrong about 2012, you know, and I was wrong about Gog and Magog, because that doesn't happen till the end of the 1,000 years.
Yeah, well,
I had a whole incorrect view of the eschatology in the book of Revelation.
He will if he ever changes his mind, but I don't think he's changed his mind.
Well, it's past that for me, because what you do is you show him where he's wrong and you read the verses.
And he
the guy
him
won't
to
even
to
listen
hell,
to you
right?
anyway, because as soon as you start to do a proof, he starts talking over you and then trying to correct you.
Right, he doesn't want to hear that.
You don't want any truth, but the whole thing is that, you know, it's if he's a Canaanite, as I believe, he's not going to be able to hear. So any proof, that's why God limited it.
That's right.
I just, In Titus 3:10, he says, you know, here. I mean, this is it's a law book. Nobody sees it a law book. That's why it's frustrating. But what he actually commands us to do is this. A man that is an heretic, after the first and second admonition, reject, knowing that he that is such is subverted, and sinneth, being condemned of himself. Now, that can apply to even your own brethren.
Well, it certainly applies to Eli James.
Yeah, but if, like, Greg Howard, his partner there, and this other guy, this is what blows my mind, what's his name, he's sending out all these silly things. I told him to take me off his email list. He was a big promoter of Eli James.
Right.
And then he kind of went with the split with Fink, and then he, you know, believed that Eli James was a rabbi, and then so he hates Eli James. So we're sending him emails back and forth and giving him verses. And we're trying to tell him that, you know, you realize that Eli James is not telling the truth, but you still seem to believe the doctrine that he's teaching is true. He still believes America is the New Jerusalem, and he's still promoting this on his website, and we're trying to point out to him that the one who taught you that is Eli James.
Right.
You don't believe anymore.
Right.
Do you see something wrong? You know, and the guy would go, oh, no, there's lots of problems in the King James Bible. Oh, no, America's the New Jerusalem, on and on. Oh, no, Revelation's already been fulfilled. There's a Roman, you know, blah, blah, blah. He wouldn't listen either. So, see, he would fit into one of these heretics. You admonish him twice, and then you just walk away from it.
I agree with you that Eli James is a heretic. I just don't. I really don't see that he's supported by the ADL.
Well, I don't know that it's the Anti-Defamation League.
I mean, I don't see that he's supported.
You know, there's hundreds of these little Canaanite groups.
Right.
I couldn't tell you. I don't have any evidence. You know, I don't have the FBI ability to go in and look at all his checks and who sent them and
corporation
paid him or anything. But I think somebody's supporting him.
He might have a pretty big following, Keith. A lot of people send money to preachers like you and him and Fink. You know, they live on donations.
Oh, no, they don't send any money to me at all.
I do.
You do, but nobody else.
Yeah, but there's a lot of people around like me that are sent to their favorite preachers.
Well, no, yeah, that's true.
So he might be getting donations.
When Eli said, well, let Keith get his own show and see if he can generate any interest. And the whole problem with the Bible is, in the end times, all the teachers are removed to a corner.
Yeah.
Even in all the bad times through the history, do you know how many people rejected the prophets? There was always only a remnant.
Of course. Who wants to listen to a prophet?
Right, so he's trying to tell us that because he can get a following, that shows he's telling the truth, and if I would have had time to talk, I would say, well, then that would mean that Joel Osteen and John Hagee must be telling the truth.
Right.
He's got the most people following him. It's not a numbers game in popularity. It's truth. And truth is not popular.
Of course not. You're right.
Right. If you tell the truth, and isn't that what Christ said?
Yeah, if you tell the truth, nobody wants to hear it.
If you follow me, they will hate you, and that's why they get so, you know, their idea of history, because of all the lies that are taught, they just can't follow the Bible. But here's you know, because Paul did convert a lot of people among the Gentiles, the dispersed house of Israel,
right.
Formerly divorced, but now made one again with the house of Judah.
Right.
But this is how the book of Acts closes out. And it says, for this cause, therefore, this is Paul. Now, he's in captivity, right? He's in bondage, in going to trial. He's going to the trial under the Roman courts. It says, but when the Jews spoke against it, I was constrained to appeal unto Caesar. Not that I had ought to accuse my nation of, and that's the same word, 1484. But he says, for this cause, therefore, have I called for you to see you and to speak with you, because that for the hope of Israel I am bound with this chain. Now, Paul's the apostle of the Gentiles. So why doesn't he say, if the Gentiles are different than Israel, for the hope of Israel and Gentiles, I'm bound with this chain?
Right.
Because the Gentiles are Israel. That's why. An easy answer.
That's right.
And they said unto him, we neither received letters out of Judea concerning thee, neither any of the brethren that came showed or spoke any harm of thee. but we desire to hear of thee what thou thinkest. For as concerning this sect, this is early Christianity under the New Testament,
right,
we know that everywhere it is spoken against. And when they had appointed him a day, there came many to him into his lodging, to whom he expounded and testified the kingdom of God, persuading them concerning Jesus, both out of the law of Moses and out of the prophets. So he isn't even using any of his own epistles or any epistle of the Gospels, nothing.
That's
just
right.
Out of the first 39 books.
That's right.
But the point is that far, far more, you know, percentage-wise, even though there was multitudes of converts, you're talking about a very small percentage of the total population of Israelites.
Right.
So getting those kinds of real perspectives, because they make it sound like the whole world converted over in Europe and Oski. Well, yeah, you know, Christianity did take over Europe after Constantine and the Roman Empire, but that wasn't true Christianity.
Yeah.
That was all compromised by the time you get to the 4th century.
Right.
Right.
That was
real
true.
Century true church was not, you know, something that was loved. It was hated everywhere.
Right, because they used torture to convert people.
No. No, they were the ones being tortured for what they preached.
No, I mean the Constantine people.
Oh, yeah, after that. Well, yeah, well, then, yeah. Well, Constantine, historically, here's what happened. The persecution of the early church wasn't from Rome at all. Starting with Pilate, Pilate did not want Christ crucified. Pilate acquiesced.
Correct.
The Judeans, the Jews, because, you know, he's the governor of the area, he's representing Rome. They have this whole multitude calling, crucify him, crucify him. He doesn't want a revolution.
That's correct.
His big job is to collect the taxes and keep the peace, so
yes,
he can collect the taxes.
Yes.
His wife had a dream, and she was worried. Plus, he interviewed him, and he knew there was something different about him. So he's begging them, what do you want to just murder Barabbas? What? No, take Jesus. Let him go. Because that was their custom at their Passover. They would release one of their prisoners. That's to keep goodwill among their, you know, their conquered people.
Right.
Roman Empire. No, the Roman Empire is ruling over them at this point.
Right.
Well, you know, he says, look, all right. He said, I just washed my hands of the whole thing. He said, that's it.
Right.
If you want to try him, then you take him, and, you know, if you want to crucify him, because they couldn't put him to death without permission. But he urged against it, but rather than have a revolt, he allowed them to take him and put him to death.
Yes.
Right. And that's exactly how it had to be, because God knew what he was doing, and he came for that very purpose.
Yes.
He incarnated in the flesh and became a man so that that could happen. So it's the most amazing story in the world, never really told truthfully, because the Roman persecution didn't really start until Nero, until the 5th decade of the 1st century.
Uh-huh.
Yes.
That's 20 years after the crucifixion.
Yeah, it was about 25. And in the meantime, there were those like Mary, mother of Jesus, and Joseph of Arimathea, and James the Just, and Lazarus, who had actually traveled up to Glastonbury. And there was already the Celtic church there that were already waiting for the Messiah, too.
Uh-huh.
And so when Caractacus, and that's one of his names, and I got this story and I'll read it to you, but the Roman church is there before Paul gets there. Where'd they come from? Oh, that's right, they came from England. Where all this Israelite, people of Israelite stock already lived, and they already had the throne of David there for 6 centuries from Jeremiah.
Wow.
Caractacus was betrayed by one of his own generals because they were beating the crap out of Rome. He was a feared man. They had really done some damage. In fact, it was Julius Caesar. That was his biggest shame, the big mock, you know, the saying that he came, he saw, he conquered.
Except
and when he kept failing in England, they were mocking him, saying he came, he saw, he fled.
Right.
on Caesar, but anyway.
Right.
So he got betrayed by one of his own men for money to the Romans. They brought him in a cage. And this is all recorded by Tacitus, who's recognized as a great historian. He wasn't a Christian. He hated Christianity, but he was a Roman historian.
Yes.
In Caractacus, and you see, normally, I mean, they're going to put this guy to death, right? And he stands up and he gives a speech before Caesar and wows them. And this is the only decent, this is the only oasis of a decent Caesar in between all these tyrants from Caligula to Nero to all these other totally, you know.
Yeah.
So Claudius is so impressed by his speech when he said, I could have come to you as an equal and this and that and this and that. He actually made him a free man and actually got to know the family so well, and his daughter, he named Claudius. That was Gladys.
Wow,
in the
Bible. Yeah, yeah.
Paul was a Roman citizen, and he was of a noble family. And Rufus, they had the same common mother, because the one husband died, and he married again, so they were both of the same mother, but different fathers. But anyway, the history, it's there, and I've got it written out, and I can read it. It's fascinating. But so the Roman church was above ground in Rome in like 37 A.D.
Wow.
And lasted all the way up until Nero, 55 A.D.
Oh, I never knew that.
Yeah, and then when Paul, there's still, the church is still there in Rome, but it's not above ground anymore because, you know, this emperor actually adopted the daughter of Caractacus, the English king, who was a Christian, adopted her for his own.
Wow, wonderful.
That's where she gave her the name Claudius.
Uh-huh.
Claudius, the emperor, loved that family.
Yes.
Yeah, so it's kind of like two oases of Rome. Pilate was one of them who just didn't want Christ crucified but couldn't do anything about it.
Yeah.
And then it's one emperor. But after that, then the persecution of Rome begins everywhere.
Yeah.
Starts with Nero, and then it goes on, and it ends with Diocletian, who was the last one before Constantine. Now, Constantine is the one who stopped the persecution of the Christian church.
Uh-huh.
Not that he's a good guy. This is already totally perverted. It's all universal. The roots of Roman Catholicism are already there.
Right.
He's a political man, but he first said, okay, no more persecution, and that was like, well, I think 313. But then by 325 with Nicene, now he declares it to be officially a Christian state.
Yes.
Right. But what they're really doing, though, is blending paganism, pagan customs, with Christianity.
Yes.
Which is what we have to this day, which is what we're called to come out of.
Yes.
That's your Easter eggs, Easter bunnies, all your your vain repetitions of prayers, you know, Christmas, the green tree, everything.
Yeah.
Amaranthus. Saturnalia, you know, the whole feast, and it changes over time. Sometimes it was a week, then it was 4 days. Now we have, you know, basically Christmas Eve in one day, you know, and all this lies about that's when Christ was born and blah, blah, blah.
Yes.
You try to point out to people, if this is the high holy day and this is the thing that we're supposed to be doing according to Christ, how come Christ and the apostles say nothing about it?
Right.
Don't talk about celebrating any Christmas. Why is that? Oh, well, it doesn't matter because, you know, it's just because it's wonderful that Jesus was born and we should have a day for his birth, and besides, it's fun for the kiddies. And I'm saying, I don't think you're understanding the Bible here.
And besides, we have to do something with this major holiday in the middle of the winter solstice.
Yeah, that's right. And we got to keep the Canaanite, the people you call Jews, but we truly call Canaanites, because we have to keep their cash registers going.
Right, right.
We have to keep this commerce. Got to have one-third of the money spent, you know, and all in this, you know, like 6-week period.
Right.
So
tomorrow.
Yeah, it's a.
Tomorrow, you think you have a study kind of organized that you want to give me?
Well, yeah, I've got. I've got a study here that I'll call you tomorrow. If
that'll
all
be
right.
Great.
Yeah, I'm just going to go through. There's basically, you know, sleep. There's four words, and one of them's easy to deal with. And then there's one that's really irrelevant because it means awaking from sleep.
Yeah.
It's used. So we, you know. But then there's two. One is katheudo and the other one's koimao. And they're actually synonyms. And then when that's what I like about the Vine's expanded dictionary. It goes through and shows you the verses and how it's used in each one.
Yeah.
And then we're going to go and actually, you know, go into the Bible and read like six passages in the Bible.
Okay.
Revelation 6 and 15, and then we're going to show you that these dead people are speaking in their conscience.
Yes.
We're going to go back and show from the roots in Hebrew that, you know, the word slept and sleep. Like David, okay, was going to sleep, you know, will sleep with his fathers. That means he's going to die. So the word sleep was used euphemistically for death, even in the Hebrew and also in the Greek. We're just going to show.
Yes.
So, and then I was just trying to think, there's a couple, but I didn't quite finish what I was thinking of the other night. But I'm going to put a little more together on in the morning, and we'll do that one, and then maybe we'll start a little bit about how to learn prophecy.
Okay.
Yeah, so. But then again, so I'm thinking tomorrow, and I'll try and maybe call you about 2 o'clock or so, and we'll try and do an hour to an hour and a half at the most.
Okay, Keith, sounds great.
All right, but, hey, wasn't that a great song, that Funny Valentine?
Yeah, she's a lovely singer.
And that gave me chills. I'm going to listen to it again.
Yeah, she's very nice.
All right, well, you have a good evening. Take care.
Talk to you later. Bye-bye. Thanks for calling.